Aging inmates are putting a strain on the Bureau of Prisons. That's according to a new report from the Justice Department's Inspector General. The IG found older inmates incur greater medical costs and that many prisons aren't properly equipped to handle a geriatric inmate population. Michael Horowitz is the Justice IG. He joins me now with more from that report and how the Bureau of Prisons might respond. Mr. Horowitz, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
All right. So give us a sense of the scope of the aging population in prisons, those over 65. How many are there and how is it growing?
Well, on the federal side, which is what we looked at, there are an ever-increasing number of inmates age 50 and older. In the last 5 years that we looked at, it was the fastest growing segment of the inmate population, increased by 25% between 2009 and 2013. It's now about a quarter of the federal prison population. By contrast, if you looked at the same period at inmates age 49 and younger, they actually decreased by about 1%. So the growth that we're having on the federal prison system is at the 50 and older.
And so how did all these people get in to prison for so long?
Well, it's a variety of offenses, a variety of causes. You have inmates doing time for drug-related offenses and long drug-related sentences. You have individuals involved in white-collar crime, a wide range and a wide mix.
All right, so you have everyone from Bernie Madoff to someone that might have been a big-time drug king somewhere.
Right, and frankly, any level of drug dealing that resulted in a long mandatory minimum.
All right, so this is a major cost factor. Give us a sense of what it is costing the Bureau of Prisons to maintain these older inmates.
Well, to give you a sense of that, based on our review of the budget data, it looks like the BOP spent about $880 million last year, or in FY 2013, the last year we had data, to incarcerate these inmates who are age 50 and older. And the problem comes in, not surprisingly, because significantly due to medical costs, increased medical costs, which obviously increase as the population ages. And by any measure, inmates age 50 and older cost more to incarcerate than inmates younger than 50.
And one of the things you found is how long it takes for medical appointments outside of the institution to occur for people, especially as they get very old and the institution simply doesn't have the capacity to deal with them. And it seems like that's almost a humane problem as well as a technical problem.
It's a very significant problem. What has happened as the inmate population has aged is the composition of the staff at the prisons hasn't kept up with the needs of those inmates. So, for example, corrections officers, there simply aren't enough corrections officers to manage the prison population. The prisons, by the way, there's a separate discussion we could have, is over capacity on the federal side. What you need is for these aging inmates, just like the regular population, you need specialist care for cardiology, neurosurgery, pulmonology, urology, all the specialties that are needed. They need to be transported out of the institution to the specialists, and the problem is there isn't the staff to do it. We found that the average wait time for those kinds of appointments for aging inmates is about 114 days. So we're talking over almost 4 months.
I guess if you compare that to, all of us, those of us that have elderly parents and so forth, if you look at that statistic, it seems like really not right.
Well, it's very much of a concern. And that's what we pointed out in the report, that the medical care is not only increasing, the medical cost is not only increasing, but the care isn't being delivered oftentimes in a timely fashion.
And you also, I think your report gives the strong sense that this is not something that simply happened to the Bureau of Prisons, but that they've been a little bit asleep at the switch. You mentioned that they haven't really looked at their accessibility in a great number of years, and the staffing mix seems to be off with so few social workers. Talk about those two things.
Yeah, so some of the other issues that an aging inmate population faces is that the physical infrastructure at the BOP institutions hasn't been updated, modernized to address this growing population. So, for example, inmates who are aging have difficulty getting into upper bunks. There aren't enough of them. They need more lower bunk spaces. They need more handicapped accessible cells. Many of these institutions, which were built some time ago, don't have sufficient capacity to help inmates with limited mobility. So they have difficulty if the institution doesn't have an elevator. They have difficulty with narrow sidewalks and the way the uneven terrain and all the things that the general population would have similar issues with. That those are the problems the BOP is facing. And as you noted, they haven't done a study or a review of the accessibility of their conditions in almost 20 years now. 1996 was the last time they did it. Separately, institution staff, in addition to not having enough corrections officers to do the transporting, as I mentioned a minute ago, what we found is that as aging inmates need assistance with the daily activities of life, such as dressing, moving around the institution, things you would see, for example, at a nursing home. Corrections officers, that's not something they are hired or expected to do. They're to perform different functions. What are needed are, for example, social workers. Well, we found that of the 39,000 staff at the BOP, they have all of 36 social workers nationwide for its 100-plus institutions.
We're speaking with Michael Horowitz. He is the Inspector General at the Justice Department. And you also point out that Justice itself has launched a program to try to give release to the people that may not be dangerous or may not have committed violent crimes, such as maybe drug dealing or white-collar crimes, so they can get out of the system a little earlier. But it hasn't really produced any people being released, or maybe only a handful.
That's right. The department announced as part of the Attorney General's Smart on Crime initiative in August 2013 that it would expand what's called the Compassionate Release Program that was already in existence, that Congress has authorized, to try to include more aging inmates, recognizing these issues, the overcrowding, the fact that inmates as they age become less dangerous to society, and looking to see if there are aging inmates who have various factors that would indicate that they would be less dangerous. The BOP announced this expanded, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, part of the Justice Department, announced this expanded policy back in 2013. We looked and we found that in the year since that policy was announced, all of two inmates had been released pursuant to that new expanded compassionate release policy.
So, in other words, iconic prisoners, the Bernie Madoffs of the world, who probably won't kill anybody or cause any violence, are in the same class, in a sense, as the Mansons, the Charles Mansons.
Well, yes, and I wouldn't use the Bernie Madoff necessarily as an example, but there are many individuals in the federal prisons, drug-related offenses, smaller white-collar related offenses,
sure,
that may be candidates for release. The problem really has been that the department and the BOP hasn't taken a serious look based on these statistics at trying to determine who's a good candidate. And in particular, much of the criticism that we've heard and looked at involved individuals who are terminally ill or very sick, require very substantial medical care, and who want to go home, want to be released, are not a danger to society, and would seem to fit the profile of what the department announced back in August 2013. And that's, I think, really where many of the questions that we had in this report are, and why we recommended that the department needed to look at those policies and how they've actually implemented the Compassionate Release Program, which, as I said, Congress has authorized. This is something that is in place and that could be managed better.
Now, you've given a long list of recommendations, new guidelines and so forth, different types of facilities, getting more and different kinds of staff. Some of them are budgetary issues. Some of them are management issues and approach issues. What has been the response so far from the Prison Bureau and Justice Maine to all of these recommendations?
They agreed with our recommendations and indicated they would follow up on them, and we will, as we've done in all of our other work, we will go back and report on how they have proceeded with the recommendations and what steps they've taken.
I just wanted to ask one more detailed question, too, and you mentioned age 50 as being the dividing line between inmates and then those that are considered, I guess, geriatric. If you go to jail when you're above 50, I guess that you automatically go to geriatric wards, or, you know, may not be the best word. But is 50 really a good cutoff? Because at 50, a lot of them can still bench press 300 pounds.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And why we chose that is that's generally in the in terms of how those who study prisons look at them. They generally use an age 50 cutoff. Many states do as well, as the dividing line, because particularly for those prisoners who have reached age 50 after spending much of their life in prison, they show greater signs of aging than those of us in the general population in society who have reached 50 might otherwise show. So it obviously very much depends on how long you've been incarcerated, under what conditions, and what circumstances. And what we're really talking about in a significant way in our report and what we've looked at it in terms of inmates over age 50 are those who have shown signs of significant aging in the prisons at that stage in their life.
And I guess zooming back just a notch here as a final question, and, you know, the issues of incarceration, punishment, crime, these are big issues for any society. Do you think that at some level, the way that the ones you just mentioned that are really aging, that are really sick, that might be terminally ill, the way that they are handled is maybe not the best reflection on the American society?
Well, I think it's a very, I think you're right in terms of it's a window into how we want to manage our facilities, our institutions, the people who have served time in jail, and obviously it's for the policymakers at the Justice Department and Congress to decide. But I think, as I said, with the Compassionate Release Program, for example, Congress's statute has, by legislation, created that policy. So there, at least with regard to that, for example, there doesn't need to be more legislation. There just needs to be a harder look at the policy to understand who we want to be in the facility and for how long, and at what point does it make sense, given a lot of different factors, cost, capacity, humane care, other issues, staffing, that it's time to say, as Congress has authorized, those folks can be released. They don't imperil the safety of the citizens. Their punishment has been served in a significant way, so that the Bernie Madoffs aren't part of that group, for example.
Sure.
And I think that's the analysis that, as we've pointed out here, that needs to be looked at more carefully.
Michael Horowitz is the Justice Department's Inspector General. Thanks so much for joining me.